Welcome to Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends, your weekly source for all things about running. We'll talk to experts about training, nutrition, and gear. We'll also feature inspiring stories from runners of all levels. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, this show on KMRE 88.3 FM is the perfect place to learn, laugh, and get motivated. And today, my guest is a local here in Bellingham, Washington, a graduate of Western Washington University, R.B. Wick. Welcome to Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends.
Thank you, Leo. It's good to be with you.
So when did you get started running, R.B.?
You know, I think I was a chubby little fifth grader or sixth grader, and you know, the kids would make fun of me, and I decided I was going to run a little harder. I was going to try a little harder, and I think that's where it started, was in between fifth and sixth grade.
And what distance did you run back then?
Oh, that was between kickball bases. So you're looking at like 20 or 30 feet.
And how did it feel? Did it inspire you?
You know, by the end of sixth grade, I started getting, some speed. So I started trying a little harder in PE, and it grew. It kind of just grew off itself.
Did you have a coach?
No, not then. It was just PE. But then in, sixth, seventh, eighth. So in ninth grade, freshman year, I was the manager of the softball team. But then my soon-to-be cross-country coach saw my PE times and said, hey, you need to try out for cross-country. So I did. I tried out for cross-country my sophomore year, and that ended up going pretty well.
You know, you said PE, and it's been a long time since I heard that expression. I don't even know if they have PE in schools anymore because things are changing. Programs are being dropped, and it's just so important to have a sport that you love. So your coach, do you remember his name?
Dominic Urbano.
Is he still around?
He's down in Skagit County. I unfortunately lost contact with him, but I care a lot about that guy. He's a good person. He did a lot for me.
Coaches tend to do that. I remember, even now when I see my old coaching, my runner coaches, I always call him coach. You know, what's your real name?
No, it doesn't matter. That's coach. It's coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And it's a mentor, right? It's a mentor that not only shows you about running, but other things about how to keep your mindset. What did he tell you to do about your mind? I mean, you have to have a good mind to run, a strong mind.
Oh, yeah, he had a lot of tricks up his sleeve, indeed. He was a professional, ended up being a professional race walker that went to the trials. But he had a lot of tricks he taught me. He would do meditative practices with us before big races. We did classes. He would give us like half-hour sessions, hour-long sessions on, picturing it, he would call it. When you're having a tough time, in your back, in the back of the race, no man's land, so to speak, right, where you're kind of left to your own mind and nothing else. You try to picture something that would inspire you to push a little harder in that area where the crowd doesn't see you, right? And that really helped me out. He really helped with the mental stuff for sure.
How many people were on your team when you first started? Were there a lot? Were it just a couple?
Cross country, we had a huge team that year. I think we packed the bus with boys and girls. I think we probably had 30 of us on the boys team or so.
We're talking to R.B. Wick about running. Now, you said your coach was a professional walker. Now, that's really hard, isn't it?
Race walking, yes. Yeah. So he's still, he was doing 5-something minute miles walking.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and you're talking like 50K races.
Now, when you started running, did he have you do anything else like strength training or stretching or yoga or anything?
Nothing yoga necessarily, but he did definitely strength training, a lot of calisthenics. Our assistant coach had his own, his own knowledge, and they drew off of each other, and they really complimented one another, and we would do 15 to 20 minutes before our workout, doing calisthenics, and then afterwards we would do maybe some sit-ups, push-ups, and planks of that sort, strength building exercises. So all of that played into making us into some pretty good athletes.
Well, that's a good base. Planking is really hard. If you're not a planker yet, what you do is you lay out kind of on the floor and you get up on your elbows and you look up and you just breathe really hard because it's going to be hard and you're going to start shaking. I remember that.
Now, yeah, I did some planks yesterday morning, actually.
We're talking to R.B. Wick about his running history, and he's a new father, too. What's your son's name?
Sterling.
That's an excellent name.
Yeah, he just turned a year old here, so I got more motivation to get back into top shape here.
Well, you know, we do this because we want to stay alive for our kids. I did it because I was inspired in 1984 when the Olympic torch went by and my wife was pregnant, and I'm going, if I want to stay alive to watch this kid grow up, I've got to do this. And I was like 250 pounds. Now I'm not. But it's really amazing, isn't it, how you can get started again. It's hard. Are you sore from all the planks and everything?
No, I would say I probably was a little smarter about trying to get back in shape. Because remember, you told me you were going to have me on. And I said, well, I better start working out again so I can make sure I tell everybody I'm back in it. So I'm being smart about it. I'm not overdoing it right away. I don't want to get discouraged too quickly, right? So I'm gonna work myself into it.
Now, I saw a picture on your Facebook about you, your picture of you and your dad. Now, you had your head was shaved, wasn't it?
it was, yes, and that got me into a little trouble back then. That was in my junior year in high school, yeah.
Well, it makes you faster.
It did, yeah. I shaved a couple seconds off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. R.B. Wick here. Now, after your junior year, it was your senior year. Did you guys win any championships?
We didn't end up winning a championship. I ended up making the podium, though. I was seventh overall at the state meet.
That's excellent.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I was happy with that. I dropped a minute 15 off my previous year's time.
So what was your best time, mileage-wise, for a mile?
Just a straight mile, goodness, I don't think I broke. I was like probably 4:35. I mean, my best half marathon time, that's more impressive to me. I think I got down into the 5:35 mile pace for half marathon pace.
That's amazing. Now, half marathons are 13.1 miles. That's a lot longer than cross country in many ways. It's more endurance. It's more of a mind set to do an endurance run. Where would you get the time for the half marathon?
That one there was half of the, was it 20? Oh goodness, I think that was a 2011 Bellingham Bay half. It was really windy, and I knew I could run sub 5:40 pace, and the guy that was scheduled to be in the race, I did a little creeping beforehand. He ended up he was capable. I think he ran a sub 1:12 at in Seattle, and so I knew that I could stay with him. And so we did. We went back and forth. I think the first half was kind of out of the wind, first six and a half miles or so. And then we were about 5:30 pace, 5:35 pace, somewhere in there. And then we hit the headwind and it just became tactical. So our times fell off. I think we ran a 1:15 at that one.
So when you say tactical, that's an important message to all the runners out there. You have to run a tactical race. You have to, sometimes you run slower in the beginning and fast at the end. What do you mean by tactics? What kind of tactics do you use when you do a race like that, like the half marathon? Do you remember?
Well, the wind was so strong that day that must have been 15 to 25 mile hour constant winds. So I was trying to just stay behind him, but he would try switching off with me, and when he would do that, I would slow down because I had probably 8 inches or almost a foot on height on the gentleman, and I just was like, I'm not going to be able to beat this guy unless I slow down when he's drafting off of me. So sure enough, I think I slowly drained him of his energy and conserved mine when he was trying to draft, and then the last And when I had the wind at my back, I'm a big guy, so I knew I was more of a sail than he was. And so I put the hammer down for the last mile and a half, 2 miles, knowing that I had to put a gap on this guy. Otherwise, I was going to risk getting beat.
So do you remember his name?
I don't.
Oh, and did you win the race?
Oh, well, I was third overall. I the top three got money, and I wanted to get myself my check from the half marathon.
Do you still have it framed or anything?
I don't. I'm sure I cashed that baby. I'd cash that.
What equipment did you have back then? What year? 2011.
Yeah, I was using my Tiger Pods, which at that point were already like 5 or 6 years old. But they were really good lightweight shoes, and I'm pretty sure I still have those. I really like them, but they're just pretty much all broken down. But if I drop a bunch of pounds and get back out there, I'll do it again. I'll throw them on again.
Good. RB Wick here on Leal and Shoemaker's Running and Racing, having a good time talking about running. I think it's just so important. It does give us a lot, doesn't it?
It does. It's so rewarding, and it's not only is it a great thing for your heart, and of course, just, you know, those endorphins are great, but a stress reliever, like getting out yesterday and getting a little bit of getting the heart rate up, it helped alleviate a lot of stress for me, and it makes me more productive, and it's for the time I put into it, I get a lot more out, and I really need to make sure I get out there a lot more and be more consistent with it again.
Do you keep a journal of your runs?
I used to. I don't anymore. I had it on my wall. I started running, as most of us do, we have our ins and outs. We start and then we fall off. We start and then we fall off. And in 2010, I started journaling every day.
That's pretty cool. Wow.
Yeah, I think it was a January 26th, 2010. I started keeping a daily log of everything I did.
You got a good memory. That's good.
Well, I remember because I got hit by a car on November 26th of 2012, and that's what stopped my good running streak. I was running every day at that point.
So when you got hit by a car, RB, did you get injured really badly?
I would say mentally I was extremely damaged for sure. Physically it was not that severe whatsoever. I ended up on the hood, thrown off onto the street, but I didn't break anything. I a few internal injuries, but I think definitely mentally it was a big injury. Several months later, a friend of mine took me out for a run, and I was apprehensive to cross the area he wanted to cross at, and we had the right of way, and he ran in front, and I lagged behind, but he almost got hit by a car.
And
if I had been next to him on the inside, I would have ended up on the hood again, and that was almost re-traumatizing to see that right in front of me.
We're talking to RB Wick about his running career, and when you get injured, it's amazing how your body can recover or not. I mean, well, you said you didn't get injured really badly, but that's pretty scary. I mean, those cars are big. And luckily here in Bellingham, Washington, we have a lot of inner urban trails where we can avoid cars. Are you running on inner urban trails now?
Yeah. Getting out there on the trail. The trails are fantastic. The trails are one of the best attributes to our area, I would say. You know, if we want to go out for a 15 or 20 mile run, we can do it mostly on trails, you know, and you can do a loop and see some beautiful country where you're at it.
I love running on trails here. It's almost like you're running in nature. You have views of the ocean or trees, and a lot of great runners out here. There's an amazing amount of runners with running teams. Would you ever join a running team?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was part of those teams back in the early days when they were doing their thing, and I would definitely love to be part of those again once I chisel myself back into my my old shape.
So what kind of shoes are you wearing now? You're not wearing the Tigers anymore because they're worn out, but what do you wear now?
Brooks Adrenaline. That's uh-huh. those have been my go-to ever since. And then I do have this old pair of Cascadias that the first series that I still pull out once in a while. I won those at a race. Well, man, that was 15 years ago now, but I still pull them out. They're one of the best shoes probably ever made.
Are Cascadia Brooks?
Yes. Yeah.
I've never run of those. There are so many big variety of shoes these days, RB. There's Hoka Ona Onas, which are like, to me, they're really cushioned. And then you have Adidas that are a little bit narrower and a lot of other great shoes. You've seen a big change in equipment. When you ran, do you remember not having any goo or any Gatorade, just water and stuff like that and bananas?
Well, that stuff was kind of always available, but I was never one to take it. You know, I was never the one to get the goo packs. Man, I remember when the goo came out, but it just, was never my thing. So, running long relay races with my friends, we had that material available, but I think we just mainly just stuck to bananas and fruits and water.
Well, I have just purchased a vest. I can't remember the name of it now. It's one of the ones you wear around you got a button in the front, and they use them in the military. They're very valuable. They have pockets. You can put goo and bananas or whatever you need, and the water pack in the back. And Camelbacks, that's what it is. What a wonderful piece of equipment. Now, do you plan on getting any of this stuff now? Any of the different kind of equipment? Are you looking at it?
Nah, I really haven't, unless I get myself into running ultras, which I wouldn't be surprised at this point, to be honest with you. As I get back into it, I have a lot of friends in the community, and I wouldn't be surprised if they forced me into one of those.
Well, an ultra is about 100 miles or 100K or 50K. That's a long ways to go. That would have to, you'd have to have a big mindset. Do your friends have this mindset of, I can do this? Because I just think it's hard.
It sure is hard, but they do it pretty consistently, it seems.
Well, they just had the 50K Chuckanut recently, last week or the week before, and there's a lot of great races coming up. The Greater Bellingham Running Club is a organization that really inspires runners and gives back to runners who need the help, need the money for shoes, for equipment, to have the ability to run. And there's also another one. Fairhaven has a running store, and Bellingham has a running store. And I think they're really important for the community because you can walk in and get fitted for your shoes. That's important because your feet are so important, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And they have professionals there to see whether you pronate, supinate, or, they will put you in the right shoe. That's so important. If you're going out and trying to, these look good and I'm going to put these on, well, they might be doing more damage than you realize, So it's definitely important to go to one of those stores to hear what they have to say, for sure.
Well, there's one local running store here in town that runs on Tuesday night, and they have representatives come over and bring the shoes over, and you can try them on and run with them, which I think is cool. I think it's a great idea. And it also encourages people to go out and say, well, do I want this shoe? But I don't know what it's like. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, I think it's great. It's a wonderful addition to the community. I mean, it's obviously a sales deal for the people trying out, or the people bringing the shoes, but it's a free trial. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
I agree. Now, do you have any great running stories about running that you would want to share with the listeners here at KMRE 88.3 FM?
Oh, goodness. My running stories are, my favorite ones are all based with friends. There's nothing better to me than going out and running with some friends and making that a consistent thing in your life. The journeys you can get on, you go off trail, you end up getting chased by a bear, whether it's really a bear or not a bear, you don't know. I
mean, it's Bellingham.
yeah. I mean, I don't have any specific story to share offhand, but there are so many things that come to mind. Like some of the best moments of my life were shared with friends up on up on ridges up in Chuckanut or up on Galbraith, or, you know, forging your own trail down a hill, down the side of a hill in the foothills, and like realizing you made a mistake halfway down, but it's too steep to go back up.
So, oh.
I would like to just encourage everybody to make their own memories by getting out on the trails with a friend, because that's the best way to do it.
We're talking to RB Wick about accountability. You have to have a friend that calls you up and says, hey, come on, we're going to go for a run. You're going to say, no, I'm going to stay in bed. And they'll say, get out of bed. Come on. And I love that part. And you know, the best thing about running with friends, as you say, it gives you memories, but you'll have somebody to talk to. And before you know it, the run is over.
Yeah. It goes by quick. You know, that, and that's how I managed to get myself into really good running shape, was with a community of runners. It wasn't something I was able to do on my own.
So how far are you running now?
Oh, I'm a mile and a half or 2 miles last week. I mean, that was, I just, like I told you, I was just going to start scraping the surface again, just because you're going to talk to me and start holding me accountable.
I gotcha. RB Wick's on the air here on Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends. We talk about running. We talk about how much fun it is. I know sometimes it's a little bit hard, and you do suffer at times, but it's important to get over it. And before you know it, you'll say, well, it makes me stronger. It makes me smarter because I know where the trails are going and understand how to run better. And it inspires you, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
RB Wick, it's been a pleasure talking to you about all this. And I know that you're a man that wears a top hat of the former governor of Washington, correct?
Yeah.
What's the name of the governor?
I don't remember, but I got it from a gal who was 93, 94 years old, and I didn't write it down at the time, and I can't remember what his name was.
Son of a gun, huh?
Passed, yeah, but I'm hoping that one day I'll be able to find her daughter and figure it out.
That'd be great, and make more running memories. Maybe we'll see you out to with the top hat on a run. Nah, that wouldn't work. No. Now, RB, you're a big supporter of the community here in Bellingham, Washington. You're a businessman. You're a man who really inspires the community in so many ways. I know Easter's coming up, and if you can tell us what's happening, for the Easter run, you're gonna have an Easter run in the way, aren't you?
You want me to start a run?
No, just
I have an Easter egg hunt coming up on Saturday, and you and many other community members will be hiding Easter eggs Saturday morning up until noon. And if people find these wooden eggs, which will be nothing but a 2-inch wooden egg, they will say nothing else on them. So hopefully the people know to bring them back to one of my shops here, the Bellingham Coin Shop at 1806 Cornwall Avenue, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday. They'll be able to redeem it for a prize. And now there are two varieties of eggs, and one will get you a more common prize, and one will get you a random number generator prize, which might spit out a $2,500 top prize for you.
And I love the idea of doing that, because when I was hiding the eggs last year, or I think the year before, people were following me. I had to run really fast and hide the eggs really quickly. And it keeps you out in nature. It makes you aware of your surroundings and takes your kids out there, which I think is really important to understand. You have to look and put the phone aside, which is important, and go out and look, and you'll discover more of nature. And you made them wooden eggs. Wonderful idea. What gave you that idea?
Well, we wanted to move away from plastic for a long time, and this year just happened to be the year. We were looking at branding the plastic eggs, and it's like, nah, that's I want to get away from plastic. And then I just stumbled onto the wooden eggs, and it's like, this is brilliant. So we're just super, you know, if it gets left out there, no one finds it. No one's going to complain about a wooden egg being out there, right? If anything, that's something cool. Take it home, put it on there. Put it in their little tchotchke shelf. But if the plastic egg got left behind, you know, people would be like, ah, there's a piece of plastic there. And I hate it. I really hate plastic, but it's kind of trying to make do with what we could do there for a while, and realize that we could be doing better. So that's what we're trying to do this year.
I appreciate that so much, RB. You're a great man for doing that, for thinking about that. That's something that you have to have a different kind of mindset and understand that nature is so important, especially here in Bellingham, Washington. RB Wick has been our guest here on Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends on KMRE 88.3 FM. RB, thank you so much for coming on the air. I look forward to seeing you out there in the trails. And one of these days, you and I are going to have to go for a run.
That sounds like a beautiful plan, Leo. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
Take care.
RB Wick on Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends on KMRE 88.3. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a community radio station, and we support the community. See you next week.